Well, today and for the 3 weeks coming, we'll be opening up the book of Psalms. We'll be hearing themes of victory, of compassion, of God's character, and how he is worthy of our praise. So let's pray together before we look at this psalm together, Psalm 44. Lord God, as we see these words, help us to hear them not only in our minds, but also in our hearts, that we might be those who are aware of your guidance, your presence, and your leading for our lives today. Amen. We are perhaps acutely aware of the amazing ability of various sports teams to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Whether the last ball of an important over, the missed penalty kick, or the sin binning at a crucial point in the match. The defeat can haunt a team long after the moment. The defeat can make future victory seem impossible. But more seriously, we know in our own lives, our own experiences, times of exaltation and great joy and celebration, but also times of hardship and defeat in our relationships, in work, in finances. And as we gather this morning, we might be a little bit uncomfortable about talking about victory as Psalm 44 does. We might not feel it's quite the right subject for a discussion in polite society. It's a little vulgar, actually, to brag about success. But as we look through Psalm 44, and if you've got a Bible in front of you, do open that up. It's on page 569 of the Church Bibles. We'll see our perceptions are challenged. We'll see that victory is the Lord's. That we need to be honest about our hearts, that crying to God is to be based on his character, and that victory is certain. So firstly, victory is the Lord in verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 44. Now, if we only had verses 1 to 8, we would assume that this psalm, this song, was a great song of praise to God. A whole nation gathered to give thanks for glorious victory, all the things that God has done in the past. And in some ways, that's correct. God has been faithful to his people. Those writing the psalm, those singing the psalm, can say, we have heard it with our ears. God has gone into battle for us. I wonder what you would say was the factor that brought about victory for the Allied forces in the Second World War. If you gathered three historians, I'm sure they could come up with more than four opinions, crediting victory to the resources of the Allies, or the joining the war by the Americans, or cold weather in Russia, or the list could go on. But for God's people in the psalm, there is one clear answer. The battle belongs to the Lord. They have heard the works of the God in the past, in verse 1. They have heard of his action, in verse 2. They've heard of his transforming presence at the end of verse 3. Looming large in the shared history of the people of God was the rescue, the exodus from Egypt. An end to captivity and suffering. And a way to new hope and new life in God, in the land he had promised. Again and again we hear God described as the one who brought you out. These people's very identity is tied up with them being rescued and redeemed from Egypt. Out of Egypt I called my son. But the people know that God's faithfulness did not stop with crossing the Red Sea. In the times of Moses and Joshua, God showed himself to work for the extension and establishing of the people in the land. We still sing sometimes today, particularly at 11 o'clock, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. Past victory has shaped identity and expectation for the people of God. And they trust in him, they trust in God, rather than their own ability. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory. In Psalm 20 we read, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. The old King James translation is helpful here. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The psalmist says, don't trust in things which fail, rather trust in God. And in verses 4 to 8, the people are saying, well, we believe these same principles hold for us. They know their God, and that they know they are faithful. Michael Wilcox puts it this way: it is God's actions that are the facts on which Israel's faith, her life, and her very existence as a nation are founded. As his acts in Christ are likewise the foundations of the Christian church. The people of Israel knew, and we know, that this trust and confidence doesn't always mean that things will be easy, or that we'll get the outcome we want from a particular situation. But we'll think later of how, in the light of what Jesus has done, we too can say victory comes to us from the Lord. Then verses 9 to 22. We need to be honest about our hearts, because this psalm doesn't stop at verse 8. It carries on. It's not just about the good times. It could always be a kind of national lament, beyond personal, beyond unhappiness. It might be like a national version of the sentiment found in the book of Job, to which there are no easy answers. It was all going so well, and then verse 9 hits us. But now. The people are essentially saying, well, look, God, you were faithful. We praised you in response. And now you have abandoned us. Being in battle now is like having to rely on our own swords, our own arms. It feels like you, God, are not here, that you are not with us. The most recent figures from the Office for National Statistics say that 6% of adults reported feeling lonely always or often in the last year. Age UK says it can be poor health, illness, money, children moving away, feeling cut off from family and friends and the community, friends dying, a lack of access to transport, redundancy or career problems or divorce. Often it's when people lose a sense of purpose and contribution that they feel the most lonely. We know the pain sometimes of loneliness, and through COVID, many have experienced that. But this psalm takes us one step even beyond that pain. For the people in the psalm, and perhaps sometimes for us too, there are times when we can feel alone from God, not connected to him, and as actually maybe he doesn't really have our best interests at heart. We think maybe we know better, but we feel abandoned. The words of the psalm in this section of 13 to 16 is such a stark contrast to that of the opening verses. To sum it up in a more modern idiom, we might say, it was like the whole world was against me. This abandonment was the kind of thing that the people might have expected if they had been unfaithful to God and wandered from his ways. So they examine their hearts in verse 17 onwards. All this happened to us, they said, though we had not forgotten you. They examine their hearts and they feel that they have been faithful to God. Perhaps not claiming to be sinless, but not having wandered from God's ways so much that they deserve to be abandoned. What would we do if we had to reflect upon failure and disappointment? So often we'd say, actually, yes, we were ignoring God, not listening to him, and not walking in his ways. So often we forget his name. But life is not as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. This event plus the feelings that we know mean that this sometimes happens. That there are things going on in our world which is itself not in harmony with God's ways. Experiencing pain, loneliness, failure doesn't mean that God is punishing us. For he never promises that all of life this side of creation, the new creation, will be rosy. Kidner reflects, God's people are caught up in a war that is more than local. In fact, this defeat may not be a punishment from God, but rather a battle scar. The price of loyalty in a world which is at war with God. Paul, in the book of Romans in the New Testament, picks up on verse 22 to reflect on the experience of the Christians facing persecution in that day. But there is hope ahead, for the appeal is made to the God of unfailing love. Look down at verses 23 to 26. Because our crying out to God is to be based on his character. Sometimes when everything around doesn't make sense, we just need to say, all I do each night is pray. The psalm appeals to God. Look at verse 23. Awake, O Lord. Awake, O Lord. Shouting to God to appeal to him. Reminding him of their desire for relationship with him. They want to know the nearness of his face, his presence with them. For us, we can sometimes get to the point where we feel apart from God. Perhaps we even avoid coming to church. Rather than appealing to God and seeking him, we are silent. Crying to God is to be based on his character, on his goodness, not our goodness. We can trust him because he is a God of unfailing love. And he does promise to be with us whatever we face. And as we look ahead, what we face is certain victory. We're going to move out of the psalm and listen to some verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes this. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our aim today is living in the light of Christ's victory. Our aim is, whatever the circumstance, on the best day and on the worst day, to be those who rejoice in a God who promises never to leave or forsake us. There is a sure and certain hope. As the people in Psalm 44 look to the unfailing love of God, as Paul rejoices in the resurrection of Christ. This is not the empty hollowness of the TV evangelist's health and wealth gospel. Not a Christian veneer on the essentially same values as our wider culture, but victory given to us by Christ, that we might enjoy the presence and peace of God for all eternity in the new heaven and new earth. So these verses challenge us. If we're having a good day, if we're feeling successful, if all is going well, who gets the credit? Are we telling others of God's love, his mercy, his goodness to us? Things are going not so well. Are we hiding away from God, feeling like he doesn't want to be with us? Or are we seeking him in prayer, seeking him in worship, allowing others to encourage us? We are loved by the God of unfailing love. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, this day we may lose the battle. We may fall and fail in the world's eyes and against the glorious standards of God. We may lose the battle, but Christ has won the war. He is the one who gave himself up to death, to the dust of the earth, whose body was placed in the earth, and who rose up, who helps us, who redeems us because of God's unfailing love. So thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.